Hi there. My name is George, and I help creators run successful campaigns with my companies, YG Crowdfunding and Fantastic Funding. On this podcast, you'll hear from the creators and my team about how they consistently launch record-breaking campaigns so you can do the same. Today's guest is Alex Abuj. He's the director of Drigori Games, and he's actually from Brazil. They have raised a staggering $6 million across all of their campaigns, and they're currently gearing up for the next campaign, Tenari's Adventures Ultimate Edition, which is launching soon. Welcome, Alex.
Welcome. Nice to meet you.
Super nice to meet you. I have so many questions for you. You have a fascinating team history. You have a fascinating company history. But before we get into all of that, let's go into the games. I think a lot of people know the epic games that you guys make. But for those who are not familiar with the games, Arena and Tenari's, can you please introduce the games that you guys have?
We always try to create games. It's motto of our company is game for tables, not shelves. So we always try to create epic games that you can have hours of playing and with very polished mechanics and interesting stories and good miniatures. So Arena, we started, we would just make a PvP game, but we started to create an epic campaign on that game. And people liked the cooperative aspects of the game. So then we started Tenari's Adventures, a game focused on the cooperative mode. So then we create a big game. Actually, I think it's maybe one of the games that has most content because we have more than 700 pages of stories and quests. And it has more than 100 quests and different quests. I think we always try to create these epic games.
This is actually one of the crazy parts to me, because the first campaign you ever did, some creators like to start small. Maybe they'll launch a small card game just to get the hang of things. But you have models, miniatures, custom dice, tons of print work, all the different adventures, like everything from day one. So how did you even manage like such a complex project?
We studied a lot before launch the campaign. So of course we are board game lovers and we were part of many Kickstarters and get many games. So we started to study each of the other campaigns and what do they do? How are the campaign? After this study, we try to make the things we consider the right things and avoid the things I didn't like this so much. Then me and my partners, let's create our game and publish on Kickstarter. So it took some years to be able to launch. But as we do it by love, not by a profession, back in 18, when we launched Arena the Contest, after studying many games, then we launched the campaign.
So the team, you and your partners, this is a very interesting story. So Alex is a doctor.
Yes.
Other people in the team are architects, law professionals, chess champions. How did you all come together and meet and then start this project?
It's by our love by board games, because even we had our other professions, we always get together to play board games. Then we started to study what the campaigns, and we created a game here, the pre-Arena the Contest here. And here on my city, we started to show people and they loved the game and they asked us, oh, let's play Arena, let's play Arena. So we say, oh, maybe we can publish this on Kickstarter, but we have to add some production value. So we have to create miniatures and art and things that make the game appears epic. Because, of course, when you play a board game, it's not just about the mechanics. Everything, the art, the miniature, the board, everything helps you to have fun and the immersion. So then we started to work on how to create a good art, how to make good miniatures. And then we started to study, and we studied a lot, of course, the Kickstarter. And then we tried to launch the Arena the Contest campaign, and we were very happy that people backed and loved the game.
Huge results. So when you say you were starting this in your own city and showing it to people, that city is Sao Paulo in Brazil.
Sao Paulo, right? Yes. Many people play board games here. So then people were asking us to play, then say, oh, you are in the right path. So people are liking the game.
So there's a big board game scene in Brazil.
Yes. Yeah, it's not that big that we wanted, but yes, we have many people that play board games here.
What I found interesting is that I live in South America as well. I also see board games being super popular, but Kickstarter as a platform, for example, doesn't natively support, I think, Brazilian creators. Also, I noticed that in your campaign, most of your backers are still from the US. They're not from Brazil. So were there any specific challenges that you had as a Brazilian creator launching a Kickstarter?
Yes, of course. We have the language is some kind of problem, because as much as we know that we have professionals that write in English, it's different when you are not native. So you think in Portuguese, it's different, the conversion. But I think as we play many board games that make success on Kickstarter, I think it's not that different to our way to think, or even the things we like it from the Americans and Europeans and any board game players. I think the most challenge was really the language, but I think the mechanics were not a problem.
And are there any specific issues around taxes, import taxes, payments? Because that's one of the things that I notice here in South America is if you order anything online, it's extremely expensive. Payment methods are different. Is that something that you feel is holding you back from getting more Brazilians to back your campaign?
Yes. The real problem is the tax. It's not cheap to ship to Brazil. And of course, the dollar is expensive here in Brazil. I think this prevents many people from getting the board games because of the final price, board games from Kickstarter, of course, because of the final price. Because even if I get the game during the campaign, but then when you get the shipping and when the game arrives and you see the taxes, some people get scared.
But then how do you get around that? Do you, for example, have, for Brazilian players, do you have like inventory of your game in Brazil that you sell locally through shops?
No, actually, we took some losses to bring to Brazil at a fair price. Of course, it's not a cheap price, but a fair price. And of course, we absorb the losses.
I think for people who don't live in this part of the world, for example, if I order something from the US, I have to pay a 60% that import tax on the amount in addition to the shipping fee. And so pretty much anything you buy here is double the amount that people in the
US. Yes, because the 60% considers the shipping too. So if you pay $100 on the board game and $50 on the shipping, the 60% is calculated and one in 50, not just the... Yeah. So it's pretty expensive to import here.
So that's a challenge for backers from Brazil and from Latin America. Luckily, you have thousands and thousands of backers from the US and from Europe. And so you weren't short for funding, I guess, in this game. But then for you as a creator in this part of the world, where do you find like the resources on how to launch a Kickstarter? You said you studied other campaigns. Do you know other creators in the region that you ask for advice, or that you connect with creators in the US and Europe? Like what's your creator network?
Yes, we studied a lot the blogs like the Stegmaier and other people that teach Kickstarter lessons. Then, of course, we talked to some other creators. And luckily, they are very nice. We could talk and, how can we do this? How can we do that? Actually, now we are friends of some creators, and it's very good for us. Because one of the things that made me change profession from I was a pediatrician and now I work for board games is this community that is very cool. People are very nice. So I was fascinated by this. And even the creators, they are, many of them, of course, almost everyone that I told were very nice and helpful. We talked to other creators. We studied a lot the blogs, and then we could launch the campaign.
What does your team look like now? Because you started as a doctor, an architect, and a lawyer. I'm sure there's a lot more people involved now. So what does the company look like today?
Yes, we have many. We have people working on the RPG. We have people working on the board games and a team that make the miniatures and make the art and even the graphic design and support. So now the team is big. But if we count all the artists and about 40 people or more.
Ooh.
If you count all the yes, the artists, of course, many are not only from Dragori Games. We hire them from Day Arts. But if taking into account everyone, I think it's this size or even bigger.
So you've successfully replaced being a doctor with being the owner of a board game company. That is the dream, isn't it?
Yes, it's a dream because of the great community of board games. I'm really fascinated how people are nice and we can talk. This was the main reason I left my doctor profession. Of course, it's not easy to be an owner of a board game company because there are many challenges and even things that are out of our control. If I will say some shippings or some other problems, we have no direct action on this. But of course, the people, when I will receive my game? And I say, it's not easy, but it's very good.
And I think I'm also really surprised because of the complexity of your games with just the amount of parts and whatnot. It seems like a lot to manage from a manufacturing perspective as well. All the miniatures, all the cards, everything. How do you guys manage that and manage quality control? Is it printed over in Asia?
Yes, it's printed on China. It's not that hard, but it's challenging, but not that hard because we are always talking to the manufacturer. And then as I am a little perfectionist, I want to think that as good as they can be. So when they send the sample or we see the videos they do, we can always very quickly say, it's not that good. Let's change. So I think me and my team, we really try to catch the details to improve what we can.
And you're doing everything over video. You're not going over to China to manage this.
I went on 19. I was on China to see the manufacturer. But they send us video and samples to us. So when we receive the sample, we can take a look and make the final changes.
Again, you guys just really blow my mind, because when I look at the complexity of the games and how much is in there, this would be enough to be a complete disaster for most teams. And then you see the reviews and people love it and it's all there and it's working out really well. So I think it's a great achievement on your part, especially not coming from the field. What does your business look like today in terms of where you sell? You're always launching your new games on Kickstarter. What happens after a Kickstarter? Do you just bring it into retail, Amazon, your own website?
No. Anaris is not a game to retail because it has many miniatures and it should be very expensive for retail. We usually launch on Kickstarter and then on Pledge Manager, people get the games and that's it for now. Of course, we are studying how to bring some items to retailer and even make some games for retailer. But Anaris is not a good game because it would be very expensive if you sell on retailer. Because it has many parts and miniatures and the price would be very high.
So you just make a batch essentially for the game. And then once that's sold out, it's really sold out.
Yes.
I think that obviously is a big part of the attraction as well in backing these games. I think that's a very smart strategy. So what do you guys do in terms of preparing for a new launch? A new launch is coming up. For example, right now, one is coming up, Tanara's Adventures, the Ultimate Edition. I know you have your Kickstarter pre-launch page up. Do you also collect emails? What is that process of leading up to your campaign for you?
Yes, I think to launch a campaign, one important part is the video. I think the video is one of the most important thing, because when a new backer comes to your page, usually it's the first thing the backer will see. Oh, let me see the video to see what it's about. And to launch the game, of course, you need to do the pre-marketing, get the emails, make some reviewers talking about the game, ask, send the games for reviewers, and use the Facebook and other platforms to spread the word so you can make sponsored posts so people can see the game. And the more people see the game before the launch, the better.
So you actually do a very active pre-launch campaign. You're running ads. What percentage, if from a campaign of funding, comes from your pre-launch? And then how much comes from Kickstarter organically? And then how much comes from the ads that you do once it's live on Kickstarter?
Let's consider, of course, it's not precise. The first day, if you consider it's the pre-launch, it's about 40% of the campaign, or 50%, especially because if you do a good pre-launch, people already have awareness of the game. And when they launch, oh, let me back this if they want. So about 40% of the pre-launch. And then the Kickstarter organically, if you can get a good day, the algorithm on Kickstarter, they put your campaign up. So people will, oh, it's a new campaign, let's see what it's about. And then, and this is the reason why the video is so important to people that, oh, I never knew about this game, let me see. And then they come to see the game. And then the ads, especially after the start of the campaign, the ads will sustain the campaign because people will see about the game and many people will enter on the campaign.
Do you do these ads in-house? Do you hire one of the marketing agencies to do it? Like, how do you promote it?
I studied how to make the ads. And so mostly of the ads we do by ourselves. But during the middle of the campaign, we can hire some marketing agents, even Backer Kit, to help promote the game.
Again, very impressed by the fact that you just learned to do everything yourself. I have to remind everyone listening, we're talking to a pediatrician here who started his own board game company. And then when I ask, how do you run your ads? Do you hire someone for it? Oh, no, I learned that myself as well.
So. Yeah, we had to.
I also think it's very important because it means you understand every aspect of the business, and it means you deeply understand what works for your business and what doesn't. And this is sometimes the issue that I have when creators use certain marketing agencies that don't give insight into what they do, is that as a creator, you don't know what works for your campaign and what doesn't. And so I think it's very smart to learn how to do it on your own or work with an agency that tells you what they do. It seems like an important thing to know for your business.
Yes. So, even you can discuss with them, oh, I prefer this, or why are you doing this? I think we can get better results if we know what we are doing.
The upcoming campaign, Tanara's Adventures Ultimate Edition, what can we expect and when is it launching?
It is launched on June 27. And of course, we can expect an epic game, maybe the game, the crawler, dungeon crawler with most content, because it has 900 pages, and if you consider the rule book and all support content. And the quests are very different to one another. So we really took time from our game designers to know, let's make this different, and it's not different enough, and let's make good challenges. And now, so the idea is to have an epic campaign with a good story and decisions. And of course, very cool miniatures you can check on the page, bringing the nostalgia of the D20 rolls, but mitigating the luck with the skills. So even if you fail, you have things that you can do to be successful on attacks. And of course, and we can expect an epic game again. And now even we got some feedbacks, and now we could address the problems. So the game will be in the best possible shape.
There's this amazing epic dragon that's wrapped around this Asian pagoda, which is on the pre-launch page. Is that one only available for day one backers?
No, but it's for free for day one backers. So
it's for free for day one backers.
Yeah. So if people want to get it for free, be there on day one. Of course, after you can get this dragon, but on day one, it's for free.
When our producer, Fran, and I were looking at this, I saw Fran's eyes light up. He was like, that dragon, we have to get it. We will have to take some money out of our company budget to back the campaign on day one so that Fran can get his free dragon because, yeah, he needs it.
It's right. Thank you.
Will you be having a booth at Spiel in Germany where people can try your games?
I think this year we will not be able to, but next year we will. We are trying to... Now the company are changing a little bit, and now we are focused on everything to make the things very efficient to produce games even better and faster. This year specifically, we cannot attend the convention, but starting next year, we'll be on Gen Con and Speed and others.
Great. Is there anything else that you would like to reveal about this game or any sort of teasers for the upcoming launch?
Yes, I think Tanaris, it will bring at least 200 hours of gameplay and really different quests. And I think it will be very interesting to play, and people, of course, can check the mechanics. I think it's a very epic game for people that love the Dungeon Dragons and the Dungeon Crawlers games. And of course, from our part and our game designers, we'll do everything to make always the games as good as possible.
Amazing. So Tanaris Adventures, the Ultimate Edition, is launching soon. The link to the Kickstarter pre-launch page will be in the show notes of this podcast, so you can click it. Is there anything else? What should people do? Should they go to the Kickstarter pre-launch page and hit notify me on launch or leave their email? What's the best way to stay involved?
I think clicking on notify me on launch is good, because when they launch on day one, you can get the free dragon.
Alex, thank you so much for your time. This has been so inspiring, from being a pediatrician to having raised over $6 million. And probably with this new campaign, that counter is going to go up a little bit more. And I'm managing all of that from Sao Paulo in Brazil. It's an incredible story. Thank you for your time. We wish you the very best of luck with your upcoming campaign. And we'll see you in Sao Paulo in a few weeks.
Oh, just send me an email.
Amazing. Alex, thank you so much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you, Josh.